time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning. Good Friday, flea flicker Friday morning. Hope maybe I'll shut my mouth a little bit and give you all a chance to jump in here. Had an interesting experience today. For those of you who don't know, Mike and Polly Heath. Polly had to have some minor surgery to have a port put into her body to be able to handle the chemotherapy that she's gone through. And so Mike Heath asked me to sit in for him. So I did his show at 6 o'clock, and man, I was busting because I told him before I went on the air, say, listen, I don't want to do my show on Mike's show. I don't want to, it's not fair to him, not fair to his audience. But man, I was busting inside with something I wanted to get out of me, and I held it in. So I feel a little bit more at liberty now because first of all, Mike's show is only 30 minutes. This one's an hour. I get a little bit more time to make the argument that I want to make. And, so I'm kind of proud of myself. I could keep my mouth shut when I really wanted to let something else out. And it is Friday the 13th. I just noticed that. Is that right? Did you guys catch this? For what it's worth, you know, watching the stars and the moon and the signs of the times. Did you know that we had the last full moon of this decade on the 12th, which was yesterday? 12/12/2019 was the last full moon of the decade. And how about this? It reached its most full moment at, are you ready? 12/12. 12 minutes after midnight on the 12th, the moon reached its fullest point. So the last full moon of the decade was on 12/12/2019 at 12:12 a.m. Now, for those of you who love numbers and those of you who love watching the sky, man, that got to mean something, doesn't it? That's pretty weird. Now, I was lucky enough, I saw that full moon out in Montana on that great wide open space with all those, that's pretty amazing. All those mountains came up over the top of them, and good to be home. Good to be home. Let's make sure we do continue to pray for Polly and Mike as Polly's having that minor surgery today, but there's no such thing as minor surgery. Continue to lift up Todd Barham, who, you know, Todd's been through it, man. And so he's still dealing with some gallbladder issues in relation to shift to all the other things that he's gone through. Some of you out there, give Todd a call. Would encourage his heart, I know. And I had several people request, I want to know, how about my little granddaughter? Or last night, our kids had they go to a thing called Thursday school, a little Christian preschool on every Thursday. And I saw little Emmy Jane last night for the first time in a week, able to hold her. Her eyes are alive again. She's back to her old self. Got herself a good cough. You imagine a one-year-old with pneumonia, what that would probably sound like. But Emmy J's back in there. Everything's good. Everything's moving forward. So appreciate all those prayers. And there's probably some prayers out there that I'm forgetting, other people who stand in need of prayer. So just remember our brothers and sisters here, our time of need, all right? I got some great stuff to flip at you today. It is Flea Flicker Friday. I want to point this out though. Folks, listen, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. I don't know if you saw, you got up this morning, if you realized it, that Brexit won again in United Kingdom yesterday. Brexit. Boris Johnson and his conservative group once again shrugged off the reins of the New World Order and said, no, we are leaving the Union. We're European Union. We're out! The people said, despite the pressure and influence and power of the New World Order, the British, God bless the British, said, no, we're leaving. We're leaving. Now, there's still a lot to play out there. We'll see what's going on. But the reason I even bring that up is to encourage you, something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. Hey, children, stop now. Watch that sign. Everybody look what's coming down. However that song goes, something is going on. And there's something really, really, really big brewing right here in the good old U.S. of A. And most people don't even see it. You don't even see it. Say, Coach, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about the sanctuary city that's going on in Virginia. I don't know if you guys are following it or not. But those radical people in Washington, D.C. have grabbed control of the large population hubs of the state of Virginia. Alexandria, Virginia, all that area around Washington, D.C. is in Virginia. Then you have the larger cities. You know, you have Richmond and you have Roanoke and the larger cities. And so what's happened is this population influx of all of these bureaucrats, these Democratic bureaucrats, are turning Virginia blue. And we know that in Virginia, the governor, Ralph Nordstrom, or whatever his name is, he's the one who used to be a doctor, talked about having a baby being born alive and allowing it to die, keeping it comfortable. Y'all remember that, don't you? Virginia. 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 Where Virginia's gone blue. So the blue gets in there, and then they really overstep their bounds and basically are trying to outlaw the possession of guns in Virginia. Passed a law, passed a rule that, going to confiscate guns, actually. I'm a man, this is in America, in the good old USA with the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of free state, to right people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And did you know that Marbury versus Madison says that any law repugnant to the Constitution ain't a law? It's not a law at all. Folks, listen to me. You cannot regulate gun usage. You cannot. It's a constitutional right enshrined within the first 10 amendments. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, folks, hear me. That trumps anything in regards to state rights. It's specifically listed as a right in the Bill of Rights. Now, rights 9 and 10 talk about states' rights and interposition and all that. But the state of Virginia cannot make a law that violates the Constitution, especially the Second Amendment of the Constitution. So the governor flexes his muscles and says, well, we're going to go confiscate the guns. And somebody else said, well, listen, a law is a law. And law enforcement, they will come and take those guns because their job is enforcement of the law. Well, we're seeing all across Virginia what they're calling sanctuary cities, where the local communities are saying, come and get them. Come and get them. Something happening here, folks. We are on the verge of something that we don't even realize we're on the verge of. And it's all, in my mind, it's all coming to a head with the election of 2020. When Donald Trump either gets reelected or not reelected. And either way, something big is going to happen. Is Mark Trump in here? Anybody down in Virginia down there? Anybody have a feeling or an opinion? I'm going someplace today. Stay with me. Anybody have any idea what's going on or what it looks like or what? Any information about that? Does that bother you? Are you concerned about that? That the government wants to now, in Virginia, a formerly red state, want to confiscate weapons? Somebody come on in. Tell me what you think. Or I'll move on.
No, Coach, I'll tell you what's happening. Think about it. What's 2020? It's perfect vision. People are beginning to see
clearly. Dale, I'm going to steal that one.
And brother, you know, my prayer was Wednesday night and our prayer, Ray LeBlanc and his wife was here. And I'm saying, man, I believe God, he is the great physician optometrist. He is adjusting our eyes and we are beginning to see clearly. Wow. And that's why you're going to start seeing these sanctuary cities for guns rights.
2020 vision, 2020 vision. See what we're seeing again, folks, we are seeing for the most part, unelected bureaucrats are now making our policies and making our laws. Now, we know in the state of Virginia, it's the legislature that's doing it. But the legislature is supposed to be a representation of the people. And I can promise you this, the people who live in Arlington, Virginia, Washington, D.C., don't represent those people who live down in Madison, Virginia, or Charlottesville. Just no way, see. So this whole thing is being forced to a head, and it piggybacks on exactly what we talked about yesterday with, Lord, teach my hands to war. Now, can I jump in here real quickly on that issue? Because I want to throw, even though it's Flea Flicker Friday, I want to throw this back on the table.
We need to learn who the enemy is if we're going to go to war, Coach.
Hey, Jack, listen, I spent most of my time yesterday responding to stupid emails from people who are peacenicks. I don't know any other way to explain it. No matter how much of, you can take them in the Bible and you can show them, as we did yesterday, Psalm 18, Psalm 144. We can take them all these places. David, what did the Bible say? Saul killed his thousands and David killed his 10,000s. No matter how much you can take them into the scripture and show that killing and fighting is part of our Christian heritage, they will not get it. Now, I said to several of them in my email, because they send me things like, thou shalt not kill, and love your neighbor, and all this malarkey, all this. And I just asked them one thing, and then I said one thing. I said, who said anything about killing anybody? Can you war without killing people? You war without killing people?
If I love my neighbor, doesn't that mean I have to hang traitors?
I'm going to get into it, Jack. I'm going to get into
it,
right?
Do better.
Listen to me now. Once again, they extrapolate, big word I learned when I was in eighth grade. They extrapolate what the scripture says, teach my hands to war. Understand this. Teaching your hands to war means teaching you the tools that you have to engage in what's going on around me. Lord, teach my hands to war and my fingers to fight. In other words, Lord, show me the techniques of battle and how to be more effective in the battle. And all that we talked about yesterday and all that I wrote yesterday, I never once mentioned killing other people. I never mentioned it. But however, the result of it is in war, sometimes people get killed. However, that wasn't what I said yesterday. Teach my hands to war. Teach me the techniques of war. Teach me, don't be ignorant of his devices. Lord, help me to see how the enemy is operating and help me learn how to do that myself. Help me to learn how to be effective in this war, this spiritual, natural war conundrum we find ourselves in. Lord, teach my hands to fight in this natural world in a way that will bring spiritual results. Don't ever forget Don't ever forget that what happens here started there. Don't ever forget that. And don't ever forget that what happens up there manifests here. Don't ever forget that. And if we think that that war is only there, we're going to get our butts kicked here. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, those same people that are chastising you about war and everything, I bet they are all for the war on poverty.
Yeah, and the war on women. Right. Why do you go to war, friends? Why do you go to war?
Well, first off, Coach, the scripture really, if you look into the original context, it's not kill, it's thou shalt not murder. In other words, we don't take an innocent person's life. Okay. Now, the same people, the hypocritical sound of that, we can't kill, we can't murder, you know, right, I agree. But killing, okay, so if we call ourselves a Christian nation, how did that become about? Oh, we had a Revolutionary War. What happened during that Revolutionary War? Mm. Did people get killed? Did they get killed? You know, World War I, World War II. See, we want to patronize this, and then we want to patronize King David. But what did the Lord say of David? David, you can't build the temple of the Lord. Why? He says, because you're a man of war. You're a man of war.
Stop it, Dale. Stop it. Stop it. King David was a harpist. He was a little shepherd boy, ruddy-faced. Stop it, Dale. Jesus got born again. God got born again in the New Testament. And he's not that mean guy anymore. Now he loves his enemies. He killed them all in that Old Testament. but he loves them now. How do I know? Well, it's just one problem with it. The Lord said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I ain't changing. The nature of who I am will not change. I am both wrath and mercy. I am both love and hate. I am both joy and anger. I'm the perfect balance of all of those things. And we have a gospel that's tipped over on love. We've tipped over. And the only way we're going to right this ship is we're going to write this. I got something to show you today. Are you sitting down? I said it was Flea Flicker Friday. Sitting down? I'm going to show you two clips. And then I'm going to share something with you, an email that I got as a result of having written what I'd written yesterday. I read it on the show. Folks, if you didn't get a chance to read it, please go back and read it, because I think it's pretty profound. Jared, pull up the I got the two videos, Old Yeller. Pull up the first video of Old Yeller. My screen just went down here for some reason. Pull up the first video of Old Yeller, folks. And I want you, as you watch this old movie, I want you to get the spiritual significance. I want you to see a battle. Oh my Lord, help us see it, Lord. I want you to see John 10. Jared, maybe you could pull that up there real quickly. John 10. Before you pull up Old Yeller. I'm gonna make a point here. I think it's gonna be a mic drop point. John 10:10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth, there you go. He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, but he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Then the porter openeth, and sheep hear his voice, and he call out his name, and he leads them out, and he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not. So he tells them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, that I am the door of the sheep, and all that have come unto me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and have fine pasture. But the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming. This is where I'm going. Sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters them. The hireling flees because a hireling, he doesn't care for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, the Lord said. I know my sheep, and I'm known by them. And as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Now I want you to watch this clip of Old Yeller. Hey, you have my permission to cry if you need to. You have my permission. But I want you to see the battle between good and evil, between the protector and the, what would you call the guy, the aggressor. I want you to see the defense that Old Yeller puts on to protect those he loves. Go ahead, Jared, play this.
Bring your gun!
That's Mama. What's the matter with her?
You stay in this house, Thomas. You hear?
Thomas! Bring your gun!
Thank you.
let Olive come down here.
I'm coming, Olive.
What happened? It was so sudden, I don't hardly know. The wolf came leaping out at us.
Lucky you had old Yeller.
It was lucky for us, son, but it weren't lucky for old Yeller.
He chewed up some, but he ain't bad hurt.
No wolf in his right mind would have jumped us at the fire. Not even a loafer wolf. That wolf was mad. Oh, shoot him if you can't. But either way, we've got it to do.
Mama, listen. Old Yeller just saved your life, and Elizabeth, too. And he saved mine and Alice's. We can't. We don't know for certain. I'll pin him up where he can't get out, and then we'll wait. We can't just shoot him like he was nothing. Don't you understand?
All right, son.
So old Yeller fights off the wolf. By the way, that's what the pastor is supposed to do. And in fighting off the wolf, she's smart enough to realize that wolf is crazy. That wolf is crazy. I wonder if old Yeller got rabies from that wolf. Even though old Yeller came and fought it off and protected us and defended us. The greatest example of love, greater love has no dog than this, and he would lay down his life for his master. We see it. He kills or fights off the wolf. And now his life is in danger. So stay with me. Jared, pull up my email from Flip Venom yesterday. Flip read my commentary. I love Flip Venom. Because Flip is a guy who, if you miss it, he'll straighten you out. He understands love. And I got an email from Flip about my commentary, Teach My Hands to War. And I want to share this with you. Jared, can you flip on it? It says Flip Benham. This is where it says Flip Benham. And I want to share this. This is where I got the idea. Flip wrote this email to his sons, the Benham brothers, David and Jason. And when he copied me to it. And when I began to read it, I thought, uh-oh, I'm about to get spanked. Because nobody can spank you like Flip. So here's what it says. He said, Hey boys. Here's a short article I received from Coach today. I am wincing a bit at the way we handled Psalm 140, 10a, without including B and C. So, Jared, we're going to have to go there in just a second, but not yet. So when I first started reading this, I thought, I'm wincing at the way he handled. I thought, uh-oh, here I come. I'm about to get spanked by Flip. And then when I reread it, it says, we handled it. And then quickly turned to Proverbs 25:12-22 to sort of shoehorn 140:10 into that context, he said. He said, unbeknownst to us, he's talking about a Bible study they had earlier. All right? It's kind of the way the Lord works, isn't it? Kind of the way he works. They were doing a Bible study. Same time Flip comes home, he reads what I wrote. He said, unbeknownst to us, we violated the very first rule of sound biblical exposition. Context is everything. You can't mix and match verses, boys and girls. But Flip's saying. Psalm 140, 7 through 13, we're going to go there in a minute, presents a different story than the one we presented today at the Bible study. So they did their Bible study. Flip comes on and reads what I wrote and says, whoops, we didn't quite get to the real nut of this thing. He's telling his boys. So don't get me wrong. What was taught was good and true, as far as it went. But it was not what King David, Psalm 140, was revealing about God and how we are to treat our and God's enemies. So flip puts Matthew 5:44. I got this a bunch of times from a lot of people yesterday. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now folks, Bible out of context. Gotta be careful. You can't just stand on that verse. Here's what I thought Flip said. I gleaned from Harold Bell Wright, writing for the American magazine in 1918, giving a biblical reason for men to go to war. He said, think of Sergeant Alvin York. And then Flip says this to his boys, his sons. He copies me on it. These are my words, Flip says, but the thoughts come from Harold Bell Wright. When our well-loved faithful dog goes mad and terrorizes the neighborhood and the lives of our friends and children, we're going through that with Daisy. Daisy peed again. Our dog peed in the house again. Michelle keeps wanting me to go out and put a bullet in Daisy's head. When our well-loved faithful dog goes mad and terrorizes the neighborhood and the lives of our friends and our children, it is not hate that puts the bullet in the chamber to end the madness. It is love. Loving our enemies is exactly what we do when we oppose their evil cause. Abortion, homosexuality, Islam, ad nauseum. Loving our enemies is exactly what we do when we oppose them with the truth of the gospel of Christ. The best good we can do for those enslaved and deceived by the lies of the devil is to defeat their evil causes so that they may find Christ. No greater good can be done than to annihilate the foul spirit that drives mothers and fathers to kill their preborn children and drives young men to seek God's love in the arms of a man and drives the sons of Esau and Ishmael into utter madness, terrorism, and death. If we really desire to love our enemies, bless those who curse us, do good to those who hate us, and pray for those who despitefully use and persecute us, then we must ready ourselves for the conflict. Train our hands for war. We must slay the dragon from within before we can slay the dragon from without. And do it all in the magnificent name of Jesus. Dang! Is that it? Love is destroying that spirit. Not coexisting with it. Not tolerating it. Jared, bring up the other clip here. Of Old Yeller. Plus, friends, if your dog goes mad, no matter how much you love your dog, for the safety and protection of everybody else, you got to put him down. No matter how much you love him, you got to put him down. And putting him down is the great expression of love. Go ahead and play this, Jared.
No, Mama. There's no hope for him now, Travis. He's suffering. You know we've got to do it.
I know, Mama. He was my dog. I'll do it.
Mama.
Come on in. Jared, pull up Psalm 140. Somebody come on in.
Coach, you know, we can take this same concept and apply it to, I'm probably everybody on this queue. You know, at when a loved one in the family dies and things, that we say that, you know, oh, they're in a better place. They've gone, you know, they've gone on to their reward and everything like that. We say the right words, but do we really feel those words? Now, I know when I went to the service for my mother last month, I got to the funeral home and she was in the casket for viewing, and I stepped in not really knowing what was going to hit me emotionally or anything, and I looked in that casket, and the first thought in my brain was, that is the emptiest corpse I have ever seen. 100% of what my mother was, there's nothing left behind. And a feeling of joy came into me because of her condition, where she was at now compared to where she spent the last year of her life, and, you know, as an invalid in bed. And it, you know, that's the way it is with our quote enemies. Now, you know, when you correctly understand the word for enemies from the Bible, it's different than what people think it is. But anyway, yeah, if you love them, you're going to do whatever it takes for them to have a chance to come to their senses and get right with Jesus. If that includes knocking them on the head or whatever you got to do, well, then let it be so.
Amen, Larry. I think he just pulled us down off of YouTube because we violated it. So, go to Coach Dave Live. That's where you'll always be able to find it. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, some may say, well, we should have preserved old Yeller. We should have just loved him. We should have just accepted him as he was. Mm. Because see, what it was is love is correction. And when that dog got out of line, they made a correction because they did love him, because he is suffering,
and they loved everybody else too. Everybody else, he would see. It's like someone walking into your home. You ready, right wing watch? It's like someone walking into your home and explaining to everybody there that they have turned to the homosexual lifestyle. It's no different than, well, here we go, right wing watch. It's no different than the dog contracting rabies. And the family realizing that dog contracting rabies is going to harm a lot of people. And out of love for everyone else and love for old Yeller, they put him out of his misery. No, I'm not saying kill homosexuals. And Kyle, if you put that up there and say that I did, I'm going to sue you. Okay? Flip said to go to Psalm 140. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man. Excuse me. Which imagines mischief in their heart. Think of rabies. Continually are they gathered together for war. Who is the violent man? They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man, who have proposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hit a snare for me in the cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have sent gins for me. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. Now, you could stop right there, which is what Flip said they did. Let me get his email back up there. He said we continued on, and he said we read Psalm 140, 10, but we didn't continue on and read it, so let's continue on here. Verse 7. I said unto the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires, excuse me, of the wicked. Further, not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves, Selah. But as for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Now in Flip's Bible study, it went to verse 10, but they didn't read all of verse 10. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not again. Are you getting this, folks? Are you getting this? Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the pure. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. So in other words, you can't just love the wicked, which is what we're being taught today in church. Just love your enemies. Well, guys, doesn't this come in conflict? Doesn't Matthew 5:44 come in conflict with Psalm 140? What do we do in a situation, in a predicament like that? Help me out, Dale. Somebody help me out. What do we do? Do we love them or do we fight them?
Why then in Luke chapter 22, there's such a great parallel where Jesus first sends out the 70. He says, I'm sending you out among sheep amongst wolves. Don't take a money bag with you. Don't take this with you. If they ask for your cloak, give them your jacket too. But in Luke 22, at the Last Supper, when he's closing out, he's saying, look, that's what it was. I came, the Prince of Peace came. He said, but I'm telling you this now, now take the cloak with you. And if you don't have a sword, go buy one. He wasn't talking a spiritual thing. He was talking a sword. And Peter replied, he said, hey, Lord, we got two of them here. And Lord said, that suffice. You know why it suffice? You only got two hands. You can only have a sword in each hand.
Amen, baby. Amen. Amen. Now, again, listen to me, folks. Listen to me. It's not all kill, murder, cut off their head, disembowel them. Lord, teach my hands to war in this natural realm in a way that will be blessed and applied spiritually.
It's stand and defend.
It's Old Yeller. It's Old Yeller. It's him going and not loving the wolf into the kingdom. He went to kill the wolf because the wolf came to kill and to steal and to destroy, right? Hey, not the devil. The devil's minions. The devil's minions come to kill and to steal and destroy. The hiring
brings it back to West Virginia, Coach. Those good old mountain boys, they're minding their own peace. They're minding their own peace, but when they come to grab their guns, that's like invasion of my privacy. You're going to come into my house and try to take something. I consider that harm upon my family. You better be ready.
Amen, dear. But let me make one correction. Virginians have teeth. Don't call Virginians West Virginians. All right? So it's Virginians.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I'll give you an example here. I think very applicable is the leprosy. Leprosy in the Old Testament was an unclean disease. You took those people outside the camp. You took them outside and they put them in different places. Why? To preserve the camp, to preserve the health and the safety of the whole other group.
Amen, Randy. Amen.
Leprosy is symbolic for rebellion. Leprosy is the sin of rebellion. What we should do, and this is not being out of line, today when you're in that group of lepers of rebellion, you separate yourself from that group. Why? To preserve the pure and the safety of others. That's why you do it. It's common sense, Coach.
It is love, Randy. It is love. But see, we are so messed up that we want to invite the leprosy into our churches, into our schools, into our libraries.
Yes.
Out of love. Misplaced love.
Yes.
Love protects, folks. It doesn't have anything to do with whether or not I love or hate the homosexual. I don't even know him. I don't even know him. How can I love or hate him? It's the spirit. It's the spirit of leprosy that they carry with them. I'm going to keep it away from those that I love. Wake up, church!
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I got a guy yesterday. I just figured this out as you're doing this show. I just figured out yesterday what this guy's problem is. A friend of mine I've known about a year. Good guy, Mexican. He's got cancer. He's been going through the treatments. Yesterday he's sitting in my office and he's just basically saying Jesus won't accept him. And he's in a roundabout way. That's what he's saying. So we dug deep into it. He's done some things in his life, you know, his past. And I think he is taking it from the people around him because he's got some people that he won't let in his house to get to his wife or get to his 11-year-old daughter. And he explained all this to me that, and basically in a nutshell, he told him, he said, I don't make my wife cry and I don't make my daughter cry. And I'm not going to let you. You come into my house, he said, I will kill you. And he's irate. And we had a long talk for about an hour, but I think that's where it's coming from. All her family, the wife's family, they think this guy's nuts, but he wants to protect the family. He don't want this evil in his house and he's standing firm on it. He will not back down. And so he doesn't go to holiday events because they let this one guy in the house around everybody. It's just nuts. You know what I mean? But it just dawned on me. That's what he's talking about.
That's love. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather expose them. That is love. Jared, Judges 3, real quickly. Somebody else, come on in. Judges 3.
Hey, Coach, the leprosy analogy works really well. The problem is we are supposed to minister to the lepers. We're not supposed to let the lepers minister.
Oh, Jack. That's right, brother. We're supposed to minister to the lepers, not let the lepers minister to us, our children. The lepers are ministering to our children in public schools. We're letting them do it. We think it's love to let them do that. Now, my Terry Zeller sent me a real quick email yesterday, and I want to, he said, Coach, Judges 3, verses 1 through 2. So I just looked at this morning, and here's what it is. Are you guys listening here? Are you guys out there? You listening? Now, listen, I know this makes you uncomfortable because this is not what Uncle Tony taught you in Sunday school, okay?
This is what needs to be said.
It's as clear as you can see. As clear as you can see. If we're at war. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. So here we sit in 2019, and the average American man, young man, has not known the wars of America. They haven't known them. Oh, they had Gulf War maybe. The Gulf War was just kind of a war that was over there, right? They haven't known the Vietnam War, which was a draft, and every family was touched by the Vietnam War and the war in Korea. And of course, WW2, where everybody, young kids left high school and went and enlisted to go fight for the Civil War, a war that was totally all encompassing all around them. Everywhere you looked was the impact and the effects of war and Rosie the Riveter, women got involved in this whole war fighting process. And so it says here in Judges that he did what? Even as many of Israel who had not known all the wars of Canaan. Stay with me. Thank you, Terry. Only that the generations of the children of America might know to teach them war. At the least, such as before knew nothing about it. There's America. Right there's America. All those kids who are under the age of 30, for what age would it be? No, have no understanding of war. Gulf War was like something that was played on the computer. We knew people who went there. We knew people who went to Afghanistan. But the average person, we fought 10 years in Afghanistan, and our lifestyle didn't change an inch. If you didn't go to Afghanistan, your lifestyle, it didn't affect you. We fought wars in this nation that affected everybody. And isn't it amazing that the Lord said, let a war come so those guys will understand what it means. Isn't that profound? Come on in. This is better. This is better than your amen. This is some good stuff right here, boys.
Yeah, it's most of us in this queue and listening to this show fully, if not totally, understood the nuts and bolts of what you've just said, understood the concept of what you've just said. But those out there in those satanic social clubs, they have swallowed the Kool-Aid. They have made their choice, their decision. Now, thank God he's merciful and they can always change their minds and return to God. But until they do, they are not our friends, nor are they to be, quote, coddled and held up to and brought in close to our acquaintances and our families and stuff, because they are a cancer in society. And when we snuggle up to them, we're inviting that cancer to spread right into what leprosy. Is close to us that we revere.
Leprosy. So Randy and I had a conversation last night. He gave me a call. Something was on his heart, and it was right on. We were talking about being red-pilled. And Randy's talking about how he's a good Christian. He loved the Lord. He checked all the boxes. But it's only been within the last few years. What coach always say? You can't teach what you haven't done. And so once Randy got out of that little box that they put him in, out into the war, it totally, are you here, Randy? It totally consumes him.
Yeah, Coach.
Explain that, Randy.
Well, that's what I said. It's been, God took me out of the box, Coach. He's been doing it for a long time. And I think a lot of us identify with that understanding. Okay, but in the last 5 years, I really, on the outside looking in, you really can see what is going on. And until you get out of the middle of it, you really can't. I'm sorry. You just can't. But really, Coach, in the last 3 or 4 years, is God saying, okay, now that you're out, what are you going to do? Are you going to lay down your life now for everything I'm doing? And that's where he's bringing us, Coach, Amen. To the point where we will lay down our things, our love of the world, our cares of life, and serve God, and he's king, and we're the subjects. It's that simple. That's where we're coming.
Randy, the question is, how do we red pill others? That's our great frustration.
We live it. We live it, Coach.
Yeah. I had a conversation with my wife last night. Her name came up in the midst of it. I brought it up. Because, we're always talking about the satanic social clubs and all that stuff. And I agree with that, Larry. I know many, many. I know a lot of people who really, really, really do want to serve people who have no clue. They're sitting in the middle of those satanic social clubs. They don't want to be there. If they knew where they were, they wouldn't want to be there. They wouldn't want to. They want to serve the Lord. They just don't know what that means. How do we reach those? How do we reach those people? That ought to be one of the cries of our hearts. Anybody have a suggestion?
Well, Coach, the Bible says, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They go into exile for lack of knowledge. Until they get into the Word of God and read it and practice it, they're the blind leading the blind. They don't read the Word.
Yeah, until they get, like Robert says, until they get into the Word themselves, they do not provide the Holy Spirit the opportunity to use the Word to draw them out. Now, we stand and picket at abortion clinics to keep, to ask people to come out before you kill that baby. Come out. Don't even go in the first place, but come out. Save that baby. Maybe we should be picketing churches and say, true Christians, come out before the cancer of the false doctrines that are being taught in there entrap you forever.
It's a balance. It's a balance, Coach. For years, I have studied. I love the Word. I've had a hunger for the Word. Okay, that's a great thing, guys. But the balance, here's the other side of the coin. Until you're willing to go out and let that manifest what you just got and be active and be on the streets and be at the clinics and do what it is it says to do, it's just a concept. So there is a balance. We need a hunger for the Word, but at the same time, we have to be a doer.
Yeah, Robert, get ready to read here December 13th. Let me ask a question here before we go off. I'm just gonna ask this question and then pause for a second. How many of you listening to this show right now, when you first started listening to it, thought I was nuts? I'm asking a question.
I did.
Is that in?
I did.
I knew you were nuts, and I loved it. Amen.
That's me. I thought you were nuts, and I was so glad to find another nut.
So, meaning this, what? Meaning this. Listen, if you can be
red-pilled. Absolutely, Larry. We fit right in.
People can be red-pilled, too. Other people can. That's why we have to just be vocal and just begin to stand up and speak the truth. Lord is opening eyes, man, everywhere. He's opening eyes. Now's our time to stand up and speak up. There's something happening.
There is an example with that. There's a Left Behind series movie that I saw. And in that, it was Gandalf that went to the king. And the king's eyes was covered, had the wool over his eyes where he couldn't see the jester and the evil that was taking over them until the wool was lifted off his eyes. Then he became to understand. Now he's got to fight back.
Amen. Where our eyes are being opened. Robert, December 13th. December 13th, Robert. Go ahead and lay that one on.
Okay. It sort of ties into what you're saying, warfare today. The quote says, many people in the world have not rejected Christ. They have rejected the Christ they've seen projected by Christendom.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here's a passage of warfare prayer, several verses from the Psalms. The Apostle Paul asked the Roman Christians, strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, so that he would be rescued, delivered, from the disobedient ones who were energized by the devil and his demons. So we see spiritual warfare here. Wise Christians will do likewise, praying that those being attacked would be delivered from the evil one, be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and be fully clothed with spiritual armor, resisting the devil firm in the faith and crushing under their feet all the power of the enemy. A little bit of spiritual warfare there.
Amen. Amen.
Believers don't have to be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day. Though many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord delivers them out of them all.
Amen.
The psalmist goes on and says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. The Lord continues to crush spiritual enemies under the feet of those who have made the Lord their refuge.
Amen.
Even the Most High their dwelling place.
Amen.
Believers can joyfully taste of the fruit of the Spirit and let the victorious Christ living in them enter the door when the defeated devil comes knocking.
Wow.
There's no reason for Christians seated in the heavenlies with Christ to allow the devil to get them sitting with him in the gutters of the world.
Unbelievable. Amen, Robert.
Spiritual warfare.
See, I can't emphasize it enough, friends. The spiritual warfare. When you pray, hey folks, when you pray and you ask the Lord to do something, to move, to heal, whatever, do you pray for it to show up in the spiritual realm or in the natural realm? If you pray that you would be healed. Do you want the healing to just show up in the heavenly realm? Or do you want it to show up into the person that you're praying for? We have to understand this dualism, this dichotomy, the interconnectedness of the spiritual realm with the natural realm. That the purpose of prayer is to empower us here. The purpose of prayer is to empower our action. The purpose of prayer is to disarm our enemy here. Here. Faith without works is dead. Where do the works show up? Here.
Yes.
Pray for victory and go get it. I was listening the other day. I remember last week I showed you the video of the Ohio State football player that was, whose mother was going to abort him. Remember that? You guys remember that? And his name's J.K. Dobbins. His dad died. His dad was like 35 years old, died in prison or whatever. And J.K. Dobbins said that his dad always had one motto by which he lived by. In the short time that J.K. Dobbins had with his father told him this. Go and get it and bring it back. Go and get it and bring it back. That ought to be our motto, shouldn't it? Go and get it and bring it back. Go and get it and bring it back. Hey, Christian, go and get it and bring it back. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Go and get it and bring it back. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.